Good afternoon, everyone, my fellow afflicted. Hello to those on the webcast. Hope everything is coming through clearly. Going hungry today, admittedly, it's not fun to feel thirsty. But it's amazing the physiological changes that are going on in our bodies as we fast. There are really incredible things occurring. When we fast, our cells go through this process of purging out the dead stuff and cleaning house, to put it simply. Our brain activity rises when we fast. There's probably psychological changes too. Focus. Isn't it true that fasting helps us understand man shall not live by bread alone? Fasting shows us how much our daily food really matters. Gives us perspective on all those other necessities. Fasting is humbling, redirects our focus, recenters our perspective, it draws us close to God, as we know. Now, this message is not about fasting, but it ties in. Also, admittedly, sometimes fasting can make us feel really bad, too, where we may have a bad headache, or such a difficult time focusing, which is understandable, physically speaking. But hopefully, as we're fasting today, the incredible meaning of this day can invigorate us. So now the real topic for this split sermon. Every year, we rehearse the entire plan of God through the seven holy days. Today, atonement is number 5. First 3, Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, they really focus on what God has done. What he's doing now, primarily through spiritual Israel, his first fruits, they cover, as we know, sacrifice of Jesus, removing sin, creation of God's church, the idea of first fruits in his harvest. And then the last 4, as we've started to keep, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, last great day. They really focus on what God will do next, expanding the application to all of mankind. The return of Jesus, the resurrection of the saints, removing all roadblocks to the rest of mankind, and then ushering in God's kingdom. Today pictures removing roadblocks. Today pictures reconnecting mankind to God. It pictures restoring the relationship of God and mankind, removing roadblocks, reconnecting, restoring. I mean, these words imply that at the beginning, God and mankind were together. And then something happened, and there was a breach, a roadblock, a major disconnection. Satan and sin. Satan, the fallen angel, severed himself from God and now works to separate all of us from God. Now, when Satan deceived Eve and encouraged them to disobey God, when sin entered God's perfect creation, that sin breached our relationship with God. Sin destroys every relationship with God and with each other. Satan caused this massive breach in the relationship that God had with mankind at the beginning. And there is only one person that can fix that breach. That is the title of this message. We know it's Jesus Christ. The title is Repairer of the Breach. That's the title for this message. Repairer of the Breach. Now that title comes from Isaiah 58:12. I've kind of borrowed this phrase from Isaiah 58:12, and we can turn there. In Isaiah 58, that's where we'll start. I borrowed the title from this scripture in Isaiah 58. Now, this chapter, 58, really is about fasting, the proper fasting that is pleasing to God. We'll start in Isaiah 58 and verse 6. It starts talking about the fasting that is not pleasing to God for selfish reasons, for other reasons. But then in Isaiah 58:6, it talks about the fasting that is pleasing to God. It's not just to humble ourselves before God. Fasting helps to repair breaches. Fasting helps to repair breaches. So let's go to Isaiah 58 and verse 6. We'll just read this one verse. It says, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. That's what fasting can do. And then this chapter goes on to describe, if we properly approach fasting and God's way of life, and then it talks about caring for the needy, providing for those that are hungry. If we care for others, this chapter tells us how much God will then direct our steps, give us strength in order for us to heal breaches. If we exemplify God's love and freedom from sin, God will make us like a spring of water, it says in this chapter, and able to repair those breaches, just like Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ. So let's go down to Isaiah 58:12 for where we got this title. Isaiah 58:12. This is a prophetic scripture. And I'm borrowing it for this message. Isaiah 58:12, it says, for those who do this properly, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. I'm doing a little bit of a stretch. This scripture is prophetic, showing one day we, the followers of God, when we exemplify the way, will be called the repairers of the breach, just like Jesus is called the repairer of the breach. We're reconnecting man to God. We're repairing those relationships destroyed by sin. But the focus of this message is on Jesus Christ, because we aren't the first repairers of the breach. We won't be. We'll be following his example. There really is only one repairer of the breach, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior, our High Priest. He is that repairer of the breach that we're following in his footsteps. And that's going to be the focus of this split. The Day of Atonement has so much connection to Passover. You know, we know Jesus and his sacrifice and resurrection that allow mankind to avoid the death penalty and allow mankind to have access to forgiveness, those sins passed over. But then Atonement goes one step further than Passover just by itself. It's not just his death and life that saves people. It's also Atonement demonstrating how Jesus becomes this everlasting high priest, cleansing everyone from their sin, cleansing from their sin. And we can't have Passover without Atonement, and vice versa. Man can't fully be reconciled to God until today is fulfilled and we know Satan is removed. Only then can Jesus repair this breach that has separated all men from God. But for us, it's a little different. We're called to be reconciled to God now, in this age, within our calling, with Satan still constantly attacking us. He's not silenced for us yet. If and when we succeed, and God succeeds in us, we will be born spirit at Christ's return, even before Satan is sealed. So just as that high priest, as we know from the Old Testament, Israel, went behind the veil once a year on atonement to put all the sins on those two goats, you know, the one killed representing Jesus, the one banished representing Satan, which we'll get to, we also now, today, rely on Jesus every day, not just once a year, to be our constant high priest in God's presence, constantly cleansing us from our sins so that we're repaired with God. So atonement for us personally is this reminder that Jesus, after Passover, is now our atonement high priest on our behalf. But for us, atonement also shows us how all of mankind needs Satan to be removed, to even have a chance at reconciliation like we do. Now, as we go through this topic today of repair of the breach, We often spend much of atonement talking about Satan and the need for him to be removed, which is true. But in this message, we want to focus more on Jesus as the repairer of the breach that Satan caused. But we do have to start at the breach. So how bad was that? You know, how did that breach occur? What did it look like? So for this, we have to start with Satan and his rebellion against God, how he was banished from heaven. That breach cannot be repaired. There is no repair for the breach between God and Satan and the angels who rebelled with him. They do not have access to the same reconciliation we do. Just consider how devastating and destructive and divisive that breach was between God and Satan and Satan's rebellion, his angels. I'll just refer to it, but we know the scripture in Revelation 12:9 that says, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him." But it didn't just stop there. The world that God had first created was likely just trashed and ruined when Satan was cast to the earth. And thus we have the recreation account in Genesis 1, including the start of mankind. And we know God wanted mankind to become part of his family, to have a relationship with him. But clearly, Satan now is going to do everything in his power to sever that relationship between God and his created man. Then fast forward, we know the story of Satan deceiving Eve in the garden, the commands of God, and that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan's main goal was to sabotage God's purpose, relationship with mankind, to sever it, to breach it. And that sin that separated Satan from God, that same sin Satan was going to inject very slyly between God and man. Again, here's another reference scripture. Isaiah 59:2. We know that sin separates between God and man. It says, Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." So Satan succeeded due to both the deception of Satan and then the carnal desire of Adam and Eve. Sin was introduced into the picture and caused this huge breach in the relationship between God and mankind. And then for the past several millennia now, that breach continues. Except for a small few that God is calling today. First fruits like us who are able to be fully reconciled to God now through his Spirit, through Jesus Christ. See, except for us, the majority of the world is deceived, blinded, disobedient, full of sin that's deepening that breach between them and God. It's only really the grace of God that we know this truth, that we can understand that today, and have God's Spirit in us now healing that breach today for us. But for us, the mankind, they'll never be free until Satan's broadcast ends and that breach can be repaired. Just to give an indication of how severe the bondage and breach is, I'm going to like to give you three reference scriptures that I'm going to harmonize together just about Satan and his breach and bondage that the world is under. I'm going to give you three reference scriptures together, and I'll just read them to you. The three are 1 John 5:19, 1 John 5:19, Ephesians 2:2, and 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'd just like to read it for an impact on what Satan has done in this world. It says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Next, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." That's the bondage and breach that mankind is under. God can't dwell with sin And by introducing sin in all of us, Satan has severed and breached that relationship. And then we know only one solution can overcome that breach of sin. Let's go to 1 John 3 and verse 8. Let's refocus now on Jesus Christ as the one solution to this breach. In 1 John 3 and verse 8. So our focus today is Jesus as the repairer of the breach. How does he do that? 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, became flesh, that he might destroy the works of the devil." For that purpose, this is the reason. This is the reason the Son of God became a human. Not the only reason, but primary reason he became human. The purpose for his sacrifice and resurrection. You know, we have a hand in sin, but it's driven by Satan since the beginning. This is the whole reason behind the sacrifice of Christ, to destroy the works of the devil, the introduction of sin, the bondage of sin, to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is that repairer of the breach. And as our atonement high priest, his death and resurrection, we can be reconciled today, have that breach healed today. And for the rest of the mankind, once this day is fulfilled, Satan will be removed. Jesus will then reconcile the rest of mankind with God and repair that breach. The whole purpose is the Son of God was manifested. Jesus will repair the breach caused by Satan. Let's go over to Hebrews. I'm going to spend a little time in Hebrews today covering how Jesus does this. How is he able to cleanse us from sin, not just die on our behalf and be resurrected, but how he cleanses us of sin as a high priest. And we'll see that in Hebrews 2. Let's begin to talk about how Jesus is the repair of the breach. In Hebrews 2, let's read verses 14 and 15 in Hebrews 2. This is going to say something very similar to what we just read in 1 John 3:8. But in Hebrews 2 and verses 14 and 15, we're going to peel this onion some more. Verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children," that's us, "have partaken of flesh and blood," we are flesh, "he himself," Jesus, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil. Verse 15, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." In other words, because humanity consists of flesh and blood, Jesus himself, he shared in that. He became flesh. Through his death, as we know the Passover sacrifice, he would be able to destroy the works of Satan, who has the power of death. Destroying or silencing Satan, it really doesn't occur in God's plan until atonement, when that figurative goat is banished. And we know the Old Testament atonement, two goats, they rehearsed the future sacrifice of Jesus and also the banishment of Satan. Jesus is going to release those who were all their lifetime subject to bondage of sin, subject to Satan's broadcast. He's starting with us now. This looks back to Passover and his sacrifice, but it looks also forward to Jesus when he will, on atonement, banish Satan, destroy his power over man, but also becoming high priest, the atonement high priest, to cleanse us from those sins. Let's keep reading in verses 17 and 18 about him as high priest. Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, or atonement for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. This is why Jesus is our perfect high priest. He was made like us, into flesh, tempted like us, and then can gladly cleanse us after his sacrifice. So much of the rest of Hebrews is all about understanding how the Old Testament priesthood was changed. No longer that once-a-year process of the high priest going behind the veil, putting the sins of the people onto the two goats. One killed picturing Jesus, one banished picturing Satan. That was a shadow of things coming in the future. Now that Passover has been fulfilled, Jesus sacrificing himself, being resurrected, atonement is now pointing to that repairing of the breach. For us now being repaired, but also banishing Satan for all of mankind. So instead of that high priest going to God once a year, we now have a high priest who is with God constantly, always there, a perfect high priest who never changes. We're going to read a little bit more about that in Hebrews, but for now, you can hold your place in Hebrews. Let's go to Leviticus 16 and just review the Old Testament observance. We'll just read a few scriptures from Leviticus 16, and then we'll go back to Hebrews after that. Just to rehearse what they did in the Old Testament on this holy day, and our command to observe it today. In Leviticus 16, we'll read verses 29 through 31 first. Leviticus 16, and we'll first read verses 29 through 31. About why we're here today, why we're observing this. Leviticus 16 and verse 29. Now this shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls, as we're doing. Do no work at all, whether a native in your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. We're rehearsing this, we're observing this still today. We're commanded to observe this holy day, just like in Leviticus 23, to afflict our souls, to fast, to not work, a Sabbath of rest. And the priest will make atonement for us to cleanse us from our sins before God. Now, when these holy days were first instituted before Jesus had come, these sacrifices that we'll read next are foreshadowing. Let's drop back to verse 15. As we know, there's two goats involved with atonement. Let's read about the first one in Leviticus 16 and verse 15. Drop back to verse 15. And it says, "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull to cleanse himself, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." And we'll end there. This first of the two goats was killed and sacrificed for the people and for their sins. Once a year on atonement, the blood was brought into the most holy place, once a year only by the high priest, foreshadowing this future sacrifice of Jesus and his entering the veil on our behalf. This piece of atonement has been fulfilled for us. And Jesus, for us, has begun to repair that breach in us, between us and God, with this process of our calling. But now the second goat, verse 21, Leviticus 16 and verse 21. "Then Aaron shall lay his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of this other goat, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man, banished." Now, under the new covenant, we don't do these animal sacrifices anymore. They're not done. The banishment of the second goat is no longer done. But they pictured what would be coming. There's only one thing that second goat foreshadowing sacrifices can point to, and that's Satan. And we won't turn to this in our message today, but in Revelation 20, which we're very familiar with, where Satan will be chained. We know Revelation 20, Satan will be chained, bound, cast into the bottomless pit, sealed. He will be shut up. So we should deceive the nations no more. So he should deceive the nations no more. Now, we don't do this with a goat anymore. But each year we're celebrating the fact that Satan is going to receive some of this and then be silenced and then be banished. We're practicing now being reconciled to God fully through Jesus Christ, our high priest, right now, even with Satan still around. But we know atonement for everyone needs Satan to be removed so that that breach can be repaired and Jesus can be high priest to everyone. Let's hop back to Hebrews 5. Let's go back to Hebrews and read some more in Hebrews about Jesus Christ as our high priest. Kind of making the case today that the repair of the breach is possible because he is our high priest, our atonement high priest. So let's read in Hebrews 5. Let's read Hebrews 5, verses 1 through 4. This is just going to give us a review of what it was like for the physical priests, the physical high priest that was around before the priesthood changed. Hebrews 5 and verses 1 through 4. This is how the physical priesthood went. Hebrews 5, verse 1 said, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. He may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins." Verse 2, "He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness." Verse 3, "Because of this, he's required, as for the people, so for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins as a physical priest. And no man takes that honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was called." That is how the Levitical, Aaronic priesthood works. A human, fallible high priest, called and appointed by God, can have compassion on those going astray because he himself was subject to weakness. He also had to offer sacrifices for himself to cleanse himself before he could then offer sacrifice to cleanse the people of their sins. Let's read a little bit more in verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 5, verse 5. "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he," referring to God, "who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Verse 6, he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Christ was always intended to become high priest, according to this other order, not the Levitical priesthood. Now, it's not my intent today to fully describe and explain the priesthood according to this order of Melchizedek. And hopefully through these verses, the context will give us as much as we need. But let's keep reading now more about Jesus as our high priest in verses 7 through 10. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 10. And it says, "Who," referring to Jesus, "in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death," we know, like the Garden of Gethsemane, "and was heard because of his godly fear," verse 8, "though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Verse 10, "called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus, just to summarize and reiterate, when he was human, before his sacrifice, he did offer up prayers and supplications, vehement cries and tears to God, who was able to save him from death. Think of Jesus and his passionate prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was heard because of his godly fear, but ultimately he still had to face death and experience the suffering. And even though he was the Son and was already perfect, he learned even more about obedience and compassion by those things that he went through. He became the author of salvation for all of us. He didn't take that honor of high priest onto himself, but just as Aaron's priests were called and chosen, Jesus was called by God as high priest. It's part of this different, infallible, everlasting priesthood of Melchizedek. See, the repairer of the breach has to silence Satan, but also has to be able to cleanse us constantly from sin. Those two things are required to heal this breach. And those true cleansing was never possible with the physical priests and the physical sacrifices, only once a year into God's presence. But now Jesus is our atonement high priest. Let's jump over to Hebrews 7. And kind of making one solid point and reading a good bit of scripture, but this Hebrews 7 and verses 23 through 27 is really going to solidify how he as high priest can really accomplish this for us. Hebrews 7, and let's read verses 23 through 27. Hebrews 7, and we'll read verses 23 through 27. Talking about how there were many physical priests, and there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, verse 24, he, Jesus, because he continues forever, he is an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Verse 27, who does not need daily, as those physical high priests, he does not need to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Those physical priests, they could not continue because they were mortal. Jesus will continue as high priest for all mankind forever. It is unchangeable, 100% everlasting and reliable. And therefore, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost, save all who come to God through him, because he always makes intercession for them behind the veil, like the high priest did. His Passover sacrifice was once for all mankind. It very much ties into Passover. He sacrificed himself to pay for man's sins, to pass over the death penalty. But today, it pictures and represents high priest to make intercession for us constantly, to repair the breach constantly. He is the repairer of that breach. We can also be so excited for the future that the major roadblock for all men coming to God, Satan and what he inserted, will be shut up, will be ended. Now, if you'd like to do a deeper, separate study of Melchizedek and the changing of the priesthood and the law, this chapter 7 in Hebrews has enough material for an entirely different sermon. For us today, we're focusing more on the way that Jesus is the repair of the breach and the hope that we have from that. Let's go to one final scripture in Hebrews 6 about this hope we have from him being our high priest. Hebrews 6, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. This hope, Hebrews 6 and verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So what an incredible hope we have, sure, steadfast, an anchor for our soul. The idea that Jesus, after his sacrifice, was able to enter the presence behind the veil, become an everlasting high priest to God, interceding constantly on our behalf, allowing us to have direct, constant access to God, and being clean before God, that's so encouraging. Now, as we start to wrap up now, let's summarize and conclude. Here we are, fasting, humbling ourselves before God on atonement, asking Jesus, our high priest, again to reconcile us to God on atonement. We are, by fasting, we are loosing the bonds of wickedness. We're undoing the heavy burdens. We're letting the oppressed go free. We're breaking every yoke. That's what we're accomplishing today with fasting and further healing that breach. Atonement is very related to Passover, as we've covered. So much connects and ties into Jesus and his resurrection. Today has this unique meaning. For the first fruits today, atonement reminds us Jesus is our new atonement high priest, enabling us into God's presence, allowing God and Jesus to live within us, making us clean. But even more encouraging and future focused, today pictures the time when the major roadblock to God, Satan's deception and broadcasting, these things will be shut up when this day is fulfilled. And all mankind finally have a clear channel to understand and hear the word of God, to have access to God through Jesus. Sin's breach that Satan made between himself and God, and that he sabotaged mankind with, will be gone. Jesus and the Father are the architects behind this incredible plan, the reason Jesus was made human, to his sacrifice, to repair the breach, to destroy the works of Satan and the sin that Satan brought in, to end the bondage of death that Satan and sin curse us with. Today we remember Satan has some responsibility, that some sins must be placed on his head, and banishment must occur. But Satan doesn't have all the responsibility, and the rest of the sins remain on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is now our perfect high priest, able to make constant intercession for everyone. Satan and sin create breaches in relationships. We've been talking about Satan and God and us and God, but we can see how sin breaches all of our relationships with each other. Between brothers and sisters, between parents and children, between races and ethnicities. Sin severs relationships, and sometimes forever. But Jesus, as repairer of the breach, it's his purpose, his intent to repair all relationships, primarily with God, but with each other among the human race, to repair any relationship destroyed by sin. As we read in Isaiah 58, and as it demonstrates, we will follow his footsteps and become repairers of the breach ourselves in the kingdom, helping all men recover their relationship with God, but also helping all men repair the breaches that were made in their relationships. Jesus and the saints repairing the breach, it doesn't end when Satan is shut up. Imagine the breaches in the hearts and minds of those coming up in the second resurrection. Sin has caused so much damage. So just like our perfect atonement high priest, Jesus, the repairer of the breach, we will be repairers too.